You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, this podcast runs a risk of being outdated by the time it goes live, but I still think we can talk about this fascinating, on-hold, enormous trade or trades that the Marlins are involved in. It looked yesterday morning, or maybe day before, it all kind of runs together this week, like the Marlins were going to do a fairly straightforward, send a couple of veterans to the Dodgers for some minor league help. Now it's something really enormous with three teams and some stars and a whole lot of stuff. From your perspective, as we sit here now, what is the – well, first of all, just what's going on? Who are the players? What's the structure of this Marlins-Braves-Dodgers deal?
Yeah, Matthew, from my understanding, about Tuesday night between 9 and 10 o'clock, the Marlins kind of reached an agreement with the Dodgers on a deal to send Latos and Morse to Los Angeles for three prospects, and included in that package, Miami is sending their competitive balance pick, the 34th overall next year's draft, there, and the Dodgers would assume the entire salaries of both players. From my understanding, the next morning, they get a call, the Marlins from L.A., saying they got the Braves engaged. And so Miami's kind of been kind of in this holding pattern, waiting. Then you hear everything up to medical reports on Oliveira could be, you know, holding up a little bit, and or some confusion over trading a competitive balance pick twice, which makes some think maybe Miami will receive something from Atlanta to make that a little more straightforward. All I kept hearing the night that everything seemed like it was going to happen was it's very complicated. So this would kind of explain it. You know, in this fast social media world we exist in, you hear stuff and expect it to be finalized immediately. I believe everything's going to fall into place by the deadline. But in the meantime, you have players, two players on the Marlins that know they're not going to be here, that weren't even stretching with the team on Wednesday, but were told to be in uniform Wednesday night, show up Thursday expecting to be traded in the morning. Marlins are playing a noon game. And you know, they're still here until told otherwise. So very strange, awkward, interesting. And I think, you know, as long as there's going to be a trade deadline that ends in the middle of the week, and like in a 4 p.m., you're going to see a lot of stuff like this happen around the league, and it certainly has happened at Marlins Park.
There was some notion, I guess, yesterday that perhaps this deal might be in jeopardy. It no longer seems like that's the case, at least, right? They're working it out.
Correct.
It doesn't seem like
I never heard that. I know the reports and from people very reliable reporting it. Yes, I mean, you could always think that something could fall apart. It just, from people I was hearing stuff from, it was just kind of an uneasiness because why isn't it done yet? It should have really, they're prepared, you know, on Tuesday night, that this deal was basically done. So, you know, the longer it dragged on, the more it created uncertainty of whether it would get done. But just in, you know, covering this team for more than a decade, a lot of the deals the Marlins make tend to, you know, get out there and we know they're done. And then a few days later, it becomes finalized. So that's not, from my perspective of covering this team and stories such as this, that unusual. The thing about it is it's unusual to just see these players in limbo because, you know, they're leaving the ballpark last night. You know, Matt Latos and Michael Morse are leaving on Wednesday night, basically saying goodbye to people, although they hadn't been told officially they were gone. And they were expecting to come in on Thursday morning to be told they're officially they're gone and they are still here. So, you know, until these things resolve itself, you never really know. But I think it's going to shake down exactly the way it's all been reported with possibly, if this is a little quirky with competitive balance pick, possibly something else coming either Miami's way or somewhere to kind of get around whatever guidelines might be attached to trading competitive balance picks.
And that's one part of this that really does stand out to me is why are the Marlins trading away a draft pick when they really need to be a team that is developing from within?
You're not the only one asking that, Matthew. It's very, very odd. I mean, they've done it, two or three straight years now. They did it last year, and they got Brian Morris, which at the time it seemed to be a return. They traded the pick to get to Pittsburgh and got Brian Morris, who helped the bullpen. I don't really have a great answer. I mean, it's like they value draft and development, but obviously, you know, they also feel those 30 to 30 to 40 or whatever the number would be picks aren't as big a value as, you know, maybe some of these other teams. I do say this, though. I think in this case, I think they would have ideally liked to have kept the pick. But every team that they've been talking to about and any number of players, all teams are asking for that pick. Now what the Marlins are doing, I mean, they kind of lost confidence in Michael Morris, who signed for 2 years. And I think they had to move that pick to move the money that it took other teams. And in this case, it'll be the Dodgers. They take on Morris's contract, Latos' contract. In the meantime, they'll have the money to retain Martin Prado, who they've wanted to keep, who they feel he's part of 16, a little bit more than Morris was. So I think that was kind of their, you know, they kind of had a part with something they weren't crazy about doing, and that was that competitive balance pick. And part of the problem, too, is, Matthew, they have gutted their system such in trades they made in the last year and a half of prospects to send the other way, which would have avoided sending a competitive balance pick. But either way, they lose a chip that would help them develop resources for down the road.
So assuming this gets done, what else would they like to accomplish over the next 26 hours, be it selling the Bulls for the farm system or maybe looking at pieces to make the 2016 team better?
I think they're going to stand pat. I don't think there's anything brewing. I don't – even Dan Haran, who – I think will be an early August trade. I think he will be wake up on August 1st still with the Marlins. Now that could change, but you know, if it's just going to be, you know, like a low level A pitcher for Haran, that may not ever even make it up to the big leagues. Haran's value to this team might be more than going that way. At least this team to keep in the 15 season somewhat interesting in the final 2 months. And I reported this the other day, Haran might be a free player to the Marlins, but he's not a free player if he's traded. The Dodgers, when they sent the $10 million over to cover Haran's contract, they're not signing his check. So if he got dealt to, you know, let's say Toronto, you know, which is a team that has looked at him, or Baltimore, you know, the Marlins would have to work it out with that team to say, hey, how are we going to pay Dan Haran, who now is going to be making, he's made $10 million this year, so whatever that prorated the rest of the way could be, what, about $4 million, you know? And plus, he's about to hit incentives. So with his 24th start, he's going to start hitting incentives. If he gets up to 30, 32, he can make up to $3 million. So, you know, this guy could become an $8 million, $7, $8 million player for some team. So it's going to make it really tough to move, in my opinion, Dan Haran with another team that, because he's, you know, the performance of what he gives you is, we know, but he's not top of the rotation stuff. He's just quality to get you, you know, innings and move you along. So I wouldn't be shocked if Dan Haran's still here, you know, at least another week or two.
All right. And so, again, to me, the interesting question about this team remains next year. I mean, their odds are really long right now, and they are parting with short-term pieces, but I don't know that this team is really in a position where it can treat next year as another building year. I mean, I don't think they can push everything in, but I think this team needs to be pretty competitive next year. So be it between now and tomorrow afternoon or in the winter, especially now given the uncertainty with Henderson Alvarez, what does this club need to do over the next 8.5 months to make sure that the 2016 Marlins are a contending club?
Yeah, and this is where it raises to the center fielder who currently is in AAA, in Marcell Ozuna, who is, you know, a guy who had 20-plus homers last year, a guy who's still, you know, very valued, you know, offensive-type talent. And I think he could be a piece, and it would probably be an off-season thing to watch for. Would they use him to try to, you know, get a little more offense, you know, try to get another center fielder, then make a play on maybe a corner outfielder free agent, maybe a Cespedes type, and go from there. You know, so I think it's going to require one of these core guys, you know, that they really don't, you know, are trying to build with, it may be requiring the move a guy like that to get you the type of return to, because if they put Marcell Ozuna out there, they're going to get, you know, a number two caliber starter, big league ready. So that's going to be something very interesting to watch. I think he's going to have to be their chip.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.